Amen. Thank you, Lily. Do you know that he cares for you? One of the most wonderful things takes place when you finally realize and understand that Jesus loves you, that God cares for you, that he is there for you. So praise God. Thank you for that. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing number 572 before the message. Number 572, He Hideth My Soul. 572. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth stanzas together. And after the second stanza, the children's church is dismissed. 572.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. Behold, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Stanza 4. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to ask you right now to look at your watch or your clock or your phone, whatever you use to keep time. Look at it right now. Look at it right now and then put it away and don't give it a thought. I'm asking you to do something that's almost impossible, almost humanly impossible. And yet, that is my challenge this morning. I want to talk about time. Time is an interesting thing because we're the only created beings that have this sense of past and future. We are. I mean, animals don't care about that. They don't get up in the morning and say, wow, yesterday was such a great day. Dogs don't do that. They're just dogs. They're just good, happy to be there, right? Cats are just, well, cats are just cats. I don't know what cats think. Probably the cats are going, why are you here? That's what happens with the cats. But time is an interesting thing for us as people because we have this it's nothing and yet it's everything. Time is this, think of it like this lattice upon which the God has erected that he hangs his story of humanity and redemption upon. And we live this thing called time, and yet we only have any real influence over the present. Right now is the only moment you have that you can do anything with. Now stop and think about that. This is it. If we would focus on the present, and I want to talk about that this morning, the Bible gives us a lot of admonition about today. But we divide our attention between today and yesterday and tomorrow. And the problem with that is we end up blowing today because of the yesterdays or because of the tomorrows. Well, what if? Think about how many terms are time terms. Well, we'll see how it works out. That's a time term. I'm not sure I can make it. That's a time term. How much time do you have? What time will you be there? What do you have going on today? Those are all terms that have time attached. Matter of fact, when you really think about it, it's almost impossible to have a conversation with anybody about anything that doesn't include time. Except God. Who is outside of time? Yeah. I just want to spend some time today because I have found in my life and I have found in my role as a pastor that in many situations, people have hung on to the past and it wrecks their present. Or they're worried about the future and it wrecks their present. Or they're hanging on to the past that makes them worry about the future, so it doubly wrecks their present. And it's wasted time. I'd like to have anybody in this room tell me how you're going to go back and fix anything. Go back and fix anything. Fix something from an hour ago. No, 10 minutes. 2 minutes. 4 seconds. Can't do it. How about if you fix something tomorrow? Today. Just jump forward and make that right so you don't worry about it. Can't happen. Yet we put a lot of energy into the future. We put a lot of energy into the past. But God has a different perspective, and he calls us to that perspective. Let's pray, and then we'll look at some verses. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this morning. I just give you the glory and the praise that you are an eternal God, the God who inhabits eternity. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. I would just pray that this morning we would just rest in the present, that we would live fully in the present, that we would love you totally in the present, trust you completely in the present, and listen to your word fully in the present. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to just go through some verses, so either turn with me or just make notes, but I want to just share some verses about today. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, this is Jesus talking, let him deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily. Daily. Take up his cross daily. Pick it up today. What good does it do you say, well, God, I'll serve you tomorrow, when you're not promised tomorrow? And what good does it do you say, I wish I'd have served you yesterday, and let that keep you from serving today? Jesus said, pick up your cross daily. Get up in the morning, grab your cross, start your day. Daily. Daily. We are daily creatures. We are created for the present. We are created, our faculties are only good in the moment. It doesn't matter how smart you are, you can't tell me what's going to happen in 10 minutes. And you can't undo a thing that happened 10 minutes ago. The present, people put so much energy into these other things that we can't touch. The present. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil," this is Joshua talking, "unto you to serve the Lord, choose you," what? "This day." He didn't say, "Choose you sometime. Think about it and get back to me." He says, "Choose you this day." This is the day when choices are made. This is the day when decisions are made, when commitments are made. This is the day. Not tomorrow. This is the day. He goes on, says, "Who you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He's talking about today. Today. Matthew 6:34 says, "Take therefore," Jesus says, "no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself." And then he says this, "Sufficient unto the day." Today. This day is sufficient for the evil thereof. The challenges that you have, you get enough today. Your plate's full. Do you realize when you wake up in the morning that if you lived your present fully in the present, you would have all you could possibly handle? But we decide to pile on with the past and the future too. And I don't have time in my present for the past and the future, so I got to give up some of my present to deal with those two things, which I can't change. Stop and really think about that. We have, the Lord Jesus says, today has enough. There's enough right here. But I get up and my plate is full with my today. And my job is to live each moment in the present. But I got to reach back and take, I wish I'd have done, I feel so bad about that, And I wish I would just grab a hold of all that. I grab a hold of that past and I drag it up to the day. And I put it on my today. So that means I got to kick off some of my today focus. I don't have room. I got the past to think about. And what if, if I don't get that, then tomorrow is going to be a wreck. Pretty soon I'm worried about tomorrow. So I grab a bunch of tomorrow and I put it on my present. And what ends up happening is I don't live the present in the present. I don't do everything with today that I can do. I don't do everything for the Lord that I can do. And I get to the end of the day and I go, God, I didn't get anything done. You ever say that? What have I done today? I mean, toddlers are busy but not productive. And we can be busy but not productive for the Lord. Today, we wait, we allow the fear of the future and the regrets of the past to climb right onto our day today and wreck the present. Just wreck it. God has mercies that are new every day. He has blessings and goodness and guidance and leading and wisdom and all of these beautiful things for us each day. And we just cloud it. Wow, but if only I had done that. Did you give that to the Lord? If you've given that to the Lord, it's done. Well, what about tomorrow? Well, God's already there. But you're not. Deal with that tomorrow. And I'm not talking about planning. I'm talking about how we live in the present, in the moment. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28 says, "Behold, I set before you," this is God talking, "this day a blessing and a curse." God says, I'm putting it. Why did God put it in those terms? Because that's the only thing we can live in, is today. You can't make a decision for tomorrow till you get there. Not a good one. Because things change between what they are today and what they are tomorrow. He says, I give you a choice today. Today. Blessing or curse. A blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. It's all about this day. The children of Israel, every time they got upset, what did they think about? The past. Oh, in Egypt, it was so good. We were just slaves there. We could eat leeks and garlic, be slaves, make bricks without straw. What a life. Now we're out here in the wilderness where we get fed every day by God and get water miraculously and our clothes don't wear out. This is terrible. Let me go back there. Talk about the spies that went into the land. 12 guys go in. They all saw the exact same thing. They all come back out. 2 of them said, we can take it today. Let's go today. Joshua, Caleb, God said it. Let's do it. But what did the other 10 say? Oh, we're going to have to fight those guys. And they're big. And we're like grasshoppers. And we can't do it. Were they talking about today they couldn't do it? Or were they talking about tomorrow? And the next day? And the next day we can't do it. All they had to do was do what God said today. But 10 of the 12 were worried about what it was going to be like there. Well, God's already there. I mean, stop and think about this, folks. The Bible condemns worrying and anxiety over and over and over again. It's an expression of a lack of confidence in God and an overconfidence by a large margin in us. Like you think you and I can fix tomorrow before we get there. It's not happening. It is not going to happen. We are divinely equipped to live really well today. Just today. It's not that hard if we just live today. If you took all of your life, everything you have lived, all the challenges, the work, the heartache, everything, and everything you're going to get, and we put it in a big pile, and when you were born, God said, well, this is your life. What would you do? Well, I'm out. Give that one to somebody else. He doesn't give it to us that way, does he? Each morning we get up. His mercies are new. And we say, God, this is the day which the Lord hath made. I will simply rejoice and be glad in it. Folks, we got to realize we're not that smart. You're not smart enough to know tomorrow. You don't have it in you. You might be a genius, double-digit, triple-digit genius, but you don't know tomorrow. And there's not a thing you can do about yesterday. We should take care of the things that, if we have regrets, deal with them. God has given us a mechanism. Why do you think God gives us a way to deal with the past? What did Paul say? Forgetting those things which are behind. And then he says the present tense, I press. That's a present tense statement. I press. But present tense imperative. Right now, what I'm doing is I'm pressing to God. I could let all my past be baggage. I could let it. And I could worry about my future and let that be an obstacle. And pretty soon we regret our past and we worry about our future so much, we stand in one place and we quiver and do nothing. When in fact we have amazing opportunity to do something with today. But the Lord is very nigh thee, Deuteronomy 30, 14 and 15, unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In other words, the choice you make today affects your tomorrow. It also sets the stage for how you view your yesterdays. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 with me, please. It's just so funny because I was shaking hands during that little time and I was a little boy sitting on this front pew here, right next to where Karen is, and he was really sad looking. He was, wasn't he, Karen? He was sad looking. And I'm like, what's wrong? And last week we had a guest speaker and he went a little long in the morning service. He went to like 12:30, Brother Al Reichman. And he goes, last week was just so long. And I just don't want it to be that long again. And I said, I promise I'll be done on time. He says, really? I said, I'll try. But there's a little boy who's like 10 years old. And I'll be honest with you, his heart was dreading the next hour because he said, it was so long, when? Last week. His last week was wrecking his present. I'm not speaking to the maturity or immaturity of it. I'm just talking about how we don't have to be adults and sophisticated to have that happen. Kids get that. And unfortunately, we as adults help reinforce it. We help. Hey, what happened last time won't happen this time. Well, thanks. I'd forgotten about what happened until you said that. You know? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 and 46. Then said David unto the Philistine. David and the Philistine are going to fight. They're heading out there. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now, what does he say in verse 46? What are the first two words of verse 46? This day. I don't care what you did last week. I don't care how many people you've killed in battle. I don't care that I've never fought anybody, because this day, you're mine. That's all there is to it. Today is you're going to find out what happens when you defy the God of the living hosts. Today, you're going to find out. This guy's like, oh, you're a shepherd. You got a stick and a sling, really? He's looking at what David had done. He's not thinking about what David can do. David's saying, I serve the God of today. Folks, do you serve the God of today? Or do you worry about the God of tomorrow and the God of yesterday? Our relationship with God is the relationship of today. It's right now. What you do right now matters. We can't change our future. We can't change our past except by how we live our present. If I live my present well, if I honor God with my present, I look back on the past and I see a legacy of God's faithfulness. And all that the past becomes for me is proof positive of God's faithfulness and his promises, and my faith grows. And I look forward and I go, I got a God who's big. I have a God who's big. And I'm not worried about tomorrow. Who? Bring it on. It doesn't matter. Because I got a God who inhabits eternity. He's already been there. He's taken care of that. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at him when he's being shipwrecked. Look at him when he's in prison. He is serving that day. When he was on that ship, and that ship was literally coming apart at the seams, he goes and talks to the crew. He says, "The God, my God, whom I serve today, has come and talked to me. I'm serving God right now in the midst of the storm." See, we get in the midst of the storm, it's like, oh, I can't wait till this is over. That's a time thing. Why would you want to wish away seeing the power of God? Oh, I just can't wait till I'm past this. How many times do we wish away our lives? Looking forward to something and missing that which is beautiful in the present and powerful in the present. We just can't do it, folks. We can't do it. I was thinking about this, I made a list of some things just based on my experiences talking to people and studying the scripture, of course. And yesterday's anger becomes today's bitterness and tomorrow's hatred. If we stay angry instead of just dealing with it that day, it becomes bitterness. A root of bitterness, the Bible says, and it becomes ultimately hatred. Yesterday's regret, God has given us the mechanism to deal with regret and to deal with shame and to deal with anger. But if we keep it and we allow it to become part of yesterday, then I have regret about that. And that becomes today's shame and tomorrow's resignation to failure. I just can't, I'll never get it right. See, that phrase, I'll never get it right, is a future tense phrase. It's not saying I'm not going to get it right now. It says, God, I've failed you so many times. I don't even feel like I can come to you. I'm never going to get it right. Past, present, future. All in the one comment. Yesterday's pride is today's arrogance and tomorrow's blindness to truth. If we let pride get a root, it becomes an arrogance that makes us unteachable. Unteachable. To come to the Lord and to learn from the Lord, we have to be humble. We see the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the New Testament. Their pride had become an arrogance that blinded them to the reality of the Messiah in their midst. And they knew the scriptures better than anybody else. Yesterday's pain that isn't taken care of, given to God, becomes today's fear, which ultimately results in tomorrow's aloneness, because we don't engage anymore because we're afraid. Somebody hurt me once, hurt me bad, so I just hold back now. And over time, the holding back and the holding back leaves me just alone. Yeah, I'm safe in the sense that I don't get hurt, but I'm also empty and alone, and that's way worse. You see, we can't let those things happen. I'm reminded of John the Baptist, what he said when the Pharisees and Sadducees came out to him as baptizing in Matthew chapter 3. He tells them, he says, bring forth, that's a present tense statement, bring forth, therefore, fruits meet to repentance. Right now, repent. He didn't say, hey, go away and when come back later. He said, right now, bring it forth. And they said to him, we don't need to repent. In chapter 3 and verse 9. And he says, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. In other words, he knows what they're thinking. He says, your problem is you think that the past is good enough for the present. But that doesn't work. What you do today matters. Okay, and unfortunately, it's possible for us as Christians to look back at our past and with fondness and say, you know what? I did my service. I'm done. Done my time. But that doesn't come with you. That is then. God doesn't say, serve me till X and then just hang out. Today, we serve the Lord today. And tomorrow when we get up, we serve the Lord today. And the next day, and the next day. And we do that until that morning when we don't get up because God has called us home. What did Paul say about his course and his race and his fight? I finished it. How did he do that? One day at a time. One day at a time. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 with me, please. Verses 5 and 6. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. That means we put it on. Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And then it says this in verse 6, humble yourselves. That's a present tense statement. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that it may exalt you in due time. You hear that? God says, humble yourself under me now so that in the future I can exalt you. There'll be a time when I do that, but you got to humble yourselves now. So what happens if every day I get up and say, God, I need to humble myself before you right now. I need to get down on my knees before you. I need to acknowledge that you are God and I am not. I need to acknowledge that you are the Lord of the universe. I need to acknowledge that I am unclean. I am undone without your Son, Jesus Christ. And that without him, I could do nothing. And humble ourselves. See, he says, you got to do that every day. And if we do that every day, then what it says, God says, then the future is taken care of. There'll come a time when I'll exalt you. That's in the future. Don't look for your exaltation now. That's in the future. Right now, just humble yourselves. Do what you can do. See, I can't do anything about the future in terms of how it comes out. Other than do what God says today. If I live my life in as complete of obedience and surrender to God today as I possibly can, I have nothing to worry about tomorrow and nothing to regret yesterday. Nothing. It's when I start worrying about yesterday and tomorrow that I start messing up today. And I get anxious and I get nervous and I take shortcuts. And I say, God, no, I don't have time for you today, but I'll get it with God. I'll read tomorrow. I'll spend time in your word tomorrow, God. Like you've got a tomorrow in your pocket you can pull out and use. And all we've done is not humbled ourselves before God today. And then we get to tomorrow and we go, oh, I didn't even study yesterday. Didn't spend any time in God's word. And so I feel bad about yesterday. And so then, well, is it... I got to today, but I'm so busy and I've got so many things that I have so many deadlines. And pretty soon we're worrying about what's out there instead of just saying, stop, pray, read, humble. Okay, God, let's do this and live our day. Just live our day in the present. It's the only thing, it's the only time you're good at. It is the only time you've got. I'm reminded of Saul. Remember how angry Saul got when the people said, well, David's killed his 10,000, Saul's killed 1,000? He got really angry. He got really jealous. And he could have let it go. He could have said, you know what? That's pride and that's arrogance, and I just need to let that go. But he didn't. He hung on to it. What did it become? Raging hatred that included murder, the attempts of murder. It did. It consumed him at a time when he needed to be a good king. And ultimately, how did Saul end up dying? In glory? Virtue? On the top of his spiritual game? No. He died by falling on his own sword in battle. In loss. All he had to do, I don't want to oversimplify it, but he allowed his pride to be wounded by those comments, and that pride, coupled with that jealousy, turned into anger and bitterness and hatred. And it became his consuming thing. Every day was all about how he could get David. It was always get David in the future. How can I trap him? How can I get the Philistines involved? How can I get this guy? And it says that Saul became David's enemy continually. Continually. It consumed him. I'm reminded of what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. You want to turn there with me, please? If we have things in our past, there is not a person in this room who has not been wounded in the past, who has not been treated badly in the past, unfairly, unjustly, dishonestly, deceitfully. You don't have that unique to you. Everyone has. And I'm afraid every one of us has been an offender of that in some small way. But here's what it says here in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a present tense statement. Paul's telling him in Ephesians, he says, right now, today, put away anger, wrath, malice, evil speech. Just put it away today, and instead, put that away and be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. Do that instead, today. Now, what would happen if every day, no matter what the offenses you'd experience, you did that? You said, I'm going to put that stuff away, and I'm going to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving, just as God, for Christ's sake, had done that to me. What would that do with your relationships today? Would it not profoundly change them? I mean, folks, when we think of certain holidays and certain people coming, we get a knot in our stomach because of the past. Cannot God redeem that day? God created the whole universe in 6. He can probably come alongside your family and bring about miraculous things. But it doesn't really matter, because what he says to us is, I got to put away wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking with malice. Put it away and put on these other things. I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak of respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, that's a present tense phrase, not what state I'm going to be in or have been in, what I am, therewith to be content. In other words, I am, whatever state I'm in, that is the best time I have, and I am going to be content in it. Right now, just right now. You don't see Paul going, well, I wonder how long I'm going to be in this prison, Silas. How long is this ship going to hold up? You don't ever see that. He says, I've learned whatever state I'm going to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I would submit to you that he's talking about living today. I can live today through Christ. Period. He doesn't worry about that other stuff. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth with benefits. Wow. You like benefits? I like benefits. Even God, the God of our salvation. Luke 11, 2 and 3, Jesus says, and he said to them, when ye pray, say unto our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give me a Costco membership. Give me a gift card for $500. Give me this day. Just today, give me the bread. Just today. Matter of fact, what did they tell? What did God tell the people in the wilderness when they were wandering? What did they want to do? They want to take more than they should. What did he tell them? Just, other than on the Sabbath, just take enough for the day. Why are you worried about it? You might even die tonight. Don't worry about it. Just take what you need today. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You see, what God gives us daily is his benefits, his blessings, his promises, his mercy, his grace. He gives us all of that every day. But we just have to take all of that beautiful stuff that's amazing and then throw a bunch of past and future worry on it and mix it all up. And they say, how was your day? Ah, it's okay. It's okay. Well, that's because we've diluted all of God's goodness with a bunch of junk from the past and the future. Junk we don't need, and a future we don't control. You want to have a good future? Live today well. You want to have a nice past that you appreciate? Live today well. You want to look back and see God's faithfulness time over time after time? Live today well. Choose God first. You want to not be worried about the future? Have a legacy of God proving himself in your life by obedience and look forward to the future going, God's got it. God has got it. And then the thing that Paul said in Philippians 3:13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not at the end. But this one thing I know, I do, forgetting those things which are behind, not worrying about the past, and reaching forth in a, this is a present tense behavior, unto those things which are before, I press, right now, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say I'm going to press, or I plan to press, or I hope to press. It says right now I'm pressing for God. Right now. So I got to ask this question as I close. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? It's interesting how, as I get older, different things come to my mind. I wonder about other things and think of life in the future. And there's a temptation to think that I've done work, and how about a little me time? Anybody ever want me time? Honestly, you want me time? Just when you want me time, just remember that you're pathetic. That in us dwelleth nothing good. That all our righteousness is filthy rags. That without God, we're nothing. But I'll tell you what, a steady diet of me time will just kill you. It'll just flat kill you. Be God. Just dive into God. Live today. People say, I'm worried about tomorrow. Well, then why don't you jump over there and fix it? Well, I can't. Then why worry? I didn't even get into the verses that God said. Jesus said, can you add a cubit to your stature by worrying? Translated, it's as possible to fix tomorrow today as it is to grow taller on your own. Trust me, if I could have grown taller, I would have. If I could grow hair, I would. But I got a God who has the hairs of my head numbered. All right? And he knows I've got 17 left. He's looking forward to the day he doesn't have to count anymore. Where's my brother John Layman? That's right, brother John, isn't that right? That's right. Here's the point, you guys. You can't do anything about yesterday. If you've got regrets, give them to the Lord. Confess it, forsake it, and let it go. And if you are worried about the future, realize that you're powerless to change it unless you just live today for God. All you can do is trust God today. I'm reminded of the two thieves on the cross. One of those thieves was worried about getting down and getting on. All his focus was get me off of here so I can get going. And he's actually hammering on Jesus. If you're him, then get us all down. Come on. Well, his whole focus was on getting off that cross and getting someplace else. The other thief, he was very much in the present. He said, remember me. And what did Jesus say? Say that again. Today. Today you shall be with me in paradise. It paid to live in the moment. To live in the present. Folks, you can't change the past and you can't control the future, but you can decide what you do with today. I want to challenge you, live every day like it's your only day, because it is. Live it for the Lord. Don't say, well, I'm going to start serving God tomorrow or the next day. all you're doing is wasting today. And you could do that for 10 years, look back on 10 years and go, wow, I didn't do, wow. Lord, I've been unfaithful for 10 years now. That's a legacy. Just live the day. God doesn't ask you to promise him everything. He says, just live the day for me. Just trust me today. Walk with me today. Love me today. Obey me today. And watch what I do with that. Watch what I, the mighty God of the universe, does with that. Because I can do amazing things. I can do amazing things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we need to be people of the present. Lord, and you know in my heart, I'm not saying we shouldn't plan for things and consider things, but as far as our focus goes, God, let us be people that live for you today. And Lord, I would pray that if there are people here this morning that have a past that haunts them, that they would surrender that today. That they would come to you and that you would just unchain them from that. Lord, that like we were commanded to do, to lay aside the weights that beset us. And God, I pray for those that would have anxiousness about tomorrow and all the tomorrows that are out there, dear Lord. Lord, I would just pray that they would trust you today. Because fear of tomorrow is an expression of doubt in God today. So I pray they would trust you. Lord, let us be sincerely your servants today. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Would you please turn with me to hymn 44. Hymn 44, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's all stand together as we sing this. And if you want to come up and just give something back to God, give God the past and give God the future, and surrender to him your today, I'd encourage you to do that. Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Maybe in your life you've got something in your past that you just are ashamed of, that it was a terrible decision that caused you grief and heartache, and maybe others too, and it still lingers with you. Let it go. Just, you can't focus upon the Lord with that in front of your face. God has come to redeem us from those things. If you need to come, just come up and say, God, I want to be free from this. I want to be free forever from this. Because if you have asked God to forgive you, he has. Sometimes we have to just let ourselves be forgiven. So if there's something in your life, you go, maybe it's back when you were a teenager and now you're old, you think, well, it's just been with me too long. God came to give us freedom, to set us free. If there's something there, let it go. And if you're worried about the future, just come up and, or wherever you're at, just give it to God. Just hand it to him. Say, Lord, you are the God who inhabits eternity. Stanza 2.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
I know this. If somebody wounds me, I have a choice to forgive them or not. It's not them who makes me take that to my next day. It's me. I can choose each day to give the day to the Lord. I can't control the day, but I can choose to give it to God. And then live and walk with Him that day. Man, I'll tell you what a beautiful life we would all have if every day we would just do that. Just every day. I pray that that's the reality for each one of us. And what we'll see is that God will put together a string of todays that will be a legacy for His Son that will last for eternity. And that's a beautiful thing. But our job is today, just today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray You would help us to be so Christ-like today. Lord, that today, if we have things from our past that we're angry about or bitter about or frustrated by, to let them go. That like Your word calls us to forgive as we've been forgiven, to let them go. If we have anxiousness about the future and we're hanging on to what we have because we're afraid that it's what defines our future, God, help us to let it go. Because You define our future. You have a plan for us. I just pray, God, we'd live well today. And we'd please You today. And that we would go to sleep tonight, dear Lord, knowing it was good to serve You today. And wake up in the morning with new mercies and look back on yesterday with great fondness as we see Your faithfulness in our lives. I just pray, God, we'd let You write Your story in our lives one day at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. Deacons, don't forget to come up for a minute, please.